After many decades of shipping jobs overseas through outsourcing and offshoring, many companies are beginning to rethink that strategy. And in a few cases, it's beginning to make more sense to bring some or parts of those jobs back to the United States. It's being called, somewhat inelegantly, reshoring. And we are joined now by the economist Tamsin Booth. She worked on a special report on this trend that appeared in the January 17th issue of the magazine. Welcome back to our show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I understand that you're at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Are you there as a reporter or just as an observer?
A mix of the two, hopefully. It's been an exciting week so far. We just had Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel talking about the need to improve Europe's competitiveness and to improve the attractiveness of labor markets. And she ended her speech rather moving by calling for international companies to come and hire young people in Europe, because clearly unemployment is very high. And that's a call that gets to the heart of the special report that I've written.
Has this issue of outsourcing and reshoring come up in any of the discussions that you've heard, either on the panels or at cocktail parties?
I think it's behind every country's concerns about whether their industries will continue to thrive. Chancellor Merkel, for instance, has publicly worried about whether Germany will even still have a car industry in 20 years' time. Maybe it will have gone to Thailand. French companies up to now have mainly been prevented by sort of social pressures from offshoring work, but they're starting to now. So, in fact, I think the trend that I'm talking about of outsourcing and offshoring maybe starting to tail off, and in some cases reverse, that's really something that's going to benefit America most of all.
You're right. Bringing jobs back to the rich world is as much in vogue these days as sending them to China was a decade ago. Hasn't offshoring manufacturing and other services to cheaper labor markets been incredibly profitable for the companies that did it? Why would they want to change a good thing?
It absolutely has. In fact, back in 1998, Jack Welch, the CEO of General Electric, said that the ideal strategy was to put all your factories on a barge and just move it around the world, chasing the lowest labor costs, the best currency rates, etc. And that, I think, really beautifully sums up the philosophy of the time. And it was incredibly successful for
three
decades.
And a lot of other people did.
Absolutely. He did it, and where he went, others followed. But it was really striking recently when Jeff Immelt, his successor, said outsourcing is yesterday's model. And for General Electric to say that is an extraordinary thing. There's really three main shifts going on to explain what you describe. I mean, the first thing is that the labor arbitrage, the huge differences that existed between wage rates are just going away. Chinese wages are going up by 20% a year, while pay in the rich world has not gone up much. The second thing is that automation means that a lot of the work that used to be done by hand is now being done by robots, by computers, in every case, so the labor cost doesn't matter so much. And the other thing is that a lot of companies really sort of joined a stampede overseas. They copied each other, and in a lot of cases they didn't do it very well. And they're realizing that there are hidden costs of sending work a long way away, such as the risk of losing intellectual property, being disrupted by a war or a natural disaster. And so they're realizing that it does actually make more sense to have stuff close at hand.
Is that what happened with General Electric? Were there concerns about quality control when the plants were so far away?
Quality, I think, is always an issue. I know that for General Electric, intellectual property was a problem, especially for washing machines, in fact. So they have brought back production of household appliances from China back to Kentucky last year because of intellectual property concerns.
My guest is Tamsin Booth, who participated in an article about reshoring in The Economist in its January 17th issue. Well, in December, Apple said it would start making a line of its computers in the United States later this year. I'd imagine that intellectual property is a concern for them as well. But if all of these companies start doing stuff back in the United States, are these kinds of moves likely to boost employment numbers in this country?
Well, you bring up the example of Apple, and I think that's a particularly bad because, of course, Apple's relationship with Foxconn, the huge Taiwanese-owned contract manufacturer, has been very controversial because of the working conditions at Foxconn factories. And even Foxconn now says it's going to start manufacturing more in America because it says its customers, want that to happen. I think that it's important to keep this movement in proportion. I think one consulting firm, the Boston Consulting Group, says that the phenomenon of bringing back production to America could add maybe a couple, 2 million manufacturing jobs in the next few years. However, a lot of the production will have been automated, which means that you don't need to bring the human beings back, full stop. I think the main point is not that everything will come back and things will go back to the way they used to be, but just that going forward, you just won't have this incredibly powerful move overseas by a large section of industry.
Well, in the past, we saw, for example, in Japan, when its wages went up in Japan, then they just simply moved those jobs over to China and then to Taiwan and South Korea. Aren't we still in the process of doing that sort of thing? Only in this case now, perhaps Mexico and Vietnam, India, Malaysia?
Yes, of course.
Bangladesh?
Absolutely. So as you see rights for Chinese workers going up, wages going up, of course, a lot of companies have simply moved to other so-called low-cost countries. But that doesn't deal with the other, the other powerful reason for this trend, which is that there are very strong management reasons to want to have things close to home. So, for instance, innovation, one of the most important things that a company does, often prospers better when you have manufacturing right next door, because the innovation people, the research and development people, can talk to the manufacturing people, and obviously that can't happen when you've got your factory the other side of the world. Another concern is rising shipping costs, also just the risks of having hugely extended global supply chains. There's been several tragic natural disasters recently where corporate supply chains have been broken, for instance with the March 11th earthquake and tsunami in Japan last year. One factory just was unable to supply a particular kind of shiny paint for cars, so it caused huge problems for car companies. So there are these other management reasons, as well as on top of the labor arbitrage going away.
The percentage of American workers who are union members has hit a 97-year low. Only 11.3% of our workforce is currently unionized. Is that making reshoring more attractive to companies, the fact that American wages have been stagnant for quite a while now?
I think it undoubtedly is, and of course this is a controversial area, because certainly it's not great to attract jobs back just because you're getting cheaper. That's not great for people's standard of living and for the middle class. However, undoubtedly, the fact that there is some flexibility on conditions and on wages is definitely attracting multinationals to America, particularly to the southern states, where of course you've had right to work legislation spreading from state to state. There's no doubt that does play a part.
So, is there a race to the bottom going on right now?
Well, I personally think that what you're seeing is maybe something of a balancing. I wouldn't call it a race to the bottom. For instance, in South Korea, which has exactly the kind of workers which were once greatly feared in the West, hardworking, fairly lowly paid. Well, they've just succeeded in abolishing night shifts because they say it's bad for people's health. The union there is powerful, the industry is successful, so they feel they have the confidence to demand that. Whereas on the other hand, American workers, British workers are now starting to do night shifts again. So I think there's just perhaps a more recognition that you've got to be a little bit flexible on the side of the rich workers. And on the other hand, Chinese workers, Cambodian workers are demanding more rights and more pay.
And outsourcing has been unpopular in this country. In fact, it became one of the issues in the recent presidential campaign. So how much of this is really about PR for these companies?
I think a certain amount of it, undoubtedly. But of course, if you are bringing work back, you are certainly going to talk about it at the moment, because as you say, the phenomenon of outsourcing played a big role in painting Mitt Romney as an out of touch plutocrat. So I think absolutely you want to publicize it, but companies just do not do these things unless there's good there's a good commercial argument. So yes, a small amount of it is about PR, but I think it's really for business reasons.
Now, we're talking about the United States. There's been outsourcing throughout the industrialized nations. Are we seeing a similar kind of reshoring elsewhere?
Well, this gets back to your point about the union membership. Japan, for a start, highly paid, pretty inflexible labor market. Companies there are now, they were late to offshore, held back by societal pressures. Now, since around 2005, they're rushing away. European companies, similarly, I think that if they could do more of it, they would. Really, this is about work coming back to America. I mean, France, for instance, which is where I'm based for The Economist, it is extremely difficult to fire people. The industry minister tells international companies that they're not wanted if they want to shut a factory. It's a very inhospitable environment. And so I think, you really have to draw a sharp difference between the countries that will benefit from this reshoring trend and those that won't. But, we've mainly talked about manufacturing, and it's very important to talk about services as well, because it's in the realm of services that people worried, people were most fearful, have been most fearful about the phenomenon of outsourcing. And there what you're seeing, it's not that, you're really seeing as much of a strong reshoring phenomenon. But I think what's happening is that the work in services, accountants, analysts, even journalists, of course, that those sort of jobs, that ones that could be, the work that could be sent overseas has already gone. So you're getting a slowing of services jobs going overseas. And, some people are even predicting that it's going to run out in about 10 years' time. So while in manufacturing, you've actually got the reversal of outsourcing in some cases, in services it's tailing off and maybe coming to an end.
Although just recently I had to call United Airlines to complain about a terrible situation, a flight that I took to Los Angeles, and the two people I've spoken to were in India. India has been a main destination for services and for IT, hasn't it? And it doesn't look like that's going to reverse itself.
That's absolutely right. The area of call centers, actually, when I was in Mumbai recently, one executive just said to me, we just can't get the accents right. There's been terrible problems with people getting furious because the Indians often speak English with a fairly pronounced accent, and so a lot of that work has gone to the Philippines, where they speak with more of an American accent, and a lot of it has come home, often with the you have to pay extra to speak to someone local.
Now, you mentioned that Foxconn is bringing some jobs to the United States. You also mentioned in your piece that another Chinese company, Livono, is moving manufacturing to the United States. What kinds of jobs is Livono bringing here?
Yes, it's extremely surprising. So for the first time in a couple of decades, and next month, beginning of February, America's going to start making personal computers again. It's an American company. It's a Chinese company with IBM, of course, because they bought IBM's personal computer business. They're starting up a production line. At the moment, they manufacture in China and Mexico, and they're starting one up at a plant in China. And the reason is that they want to serve the American market better, and that's another crucial reason for offshoring starting to reverse, is that the idea now, the new trend for companies is to produce locally in each market and be incredibly responsive to their customers in each market. And for Lenovo, it just doesn't, I mean, who knows better the advantages of manufacturing in China than Lenovo? But for them, they know very well that the labor cost just doesn't make that much of a difference because the gap has narrowed so much.
And we've been seeing something similar happening in the automobile industry with Japanese companies and producing cars in the American South. So I guess, and then they could brag that the car was made in the United States.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Well, actually, where the call seems to be breaking up, I guess Switzerland just does not have a very good telephone satellite system. But it's been wonderful talking with you, Tamsin Booth. Tamsin Booth is with The Economist, and she worked on a special report on this trend of reshoring that appeared in the January 17th issue of the magazine. Thank you so much for talking with us again.
Thank you. We'll be right back.